Yo, what's good, man?
How you doing?
Man, I'm fucking sick. I sound a whole lot better than I thought I would.
I was just gonna say, as soon as you opened your mouth, I was like, oh, he sounds recovered.
Yeah, man. Like, I recovered. Honestly, my voice kind of came back around 3, 4 o'clock.
Nice.
I woke up this morning and I was still struggling to talk. I'm still a little stuffy, but not as bad as before. But yeah, man. So,
Just like
for
a
all the listeners, huh?
kind of cold for you, or like a
I don't know what it is. Or I know what it is, but I don't know what it is.
oh.
So, backstory. Ever since I was younger, I used to always get sick right before the actual season of summer came. Don't
Okay.
know why. I remember school used to always, end and you don't get any homework anymore, and you're just
Right.
going to school for whatever the fuck.
Going through the motions at the end, yeah.
Yeah, I used to always get sick around that time, and teachers used to think I just wanted to skip school, but I was like really like dying sick, missing like 3 days of school on the last week of school.
That's so weird.
Yeah.
Every year?
Yeah, every year.
Hmm.
Every year. So that's pretty much what it is. Why is that? I don't know. Doesn't happen when winter comes, only
That's so
happens
weird.
before summer comes.
Huh. And you're a summer guy. You love summer. That's why I'm like, what? It does so many bad things to you. That is just like, do you have allergies or anything like that?
No, not really.
That's even weirder. I was like,
Yeah.
maybe it's like a seasonal allergy thing where you just have like those flu symptoms. Because Rach goes through all that shit all the time. But I mean, she's allergic to pretty much everything. But she's constantly like battling an illness.
Yeah.
Like, even if she's like feeling fine, it's always like something bugging her. So I just know like seasonal allergies are just, they destroy her. So, and a lot of that can feel like a cold or like even like a flu. Like, she gets like muscle pains and all that shit. I mean, so. I don't know. The fact that you get it like every year the same time makes me think like it's seasonal. It's something with the temperature's changing all the time here, especially in the Midwest. It's like 70 one day, it's 40 the next day. So like your body is just trying to fight. And it's like
Yeah.
I could see it. This is the worst time for that shit.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, that's the stuff. That's the stuff. I told you, man, when I get sick, I get sick. I don't get sick
Oh,
very
yeah.
often.
No, I don't either. But
Mm-mm.
when I get sick, I'm dead.
And I told you on Messenger, I'm like, Rachel give me shit every time. If I get like the sniffle, just you know when you get like the very beginning of the cold symptoms where you just start feeling just a little off, or like you swallow and it's just like a little rough, you go, oh no. And then you wait
Oh,
like
yeah.
2 days and it's a full-blown cold. So
Oh, yeah.
I'm like vocal about that the second I get something. So if I feel like that's coming on, I try to get ahead of it. Like I start pumping all the medicine, start doing all the vitamins, the smoothies, the orange juice, the soup. Like just I go just balls to the wall with it because my wife likes to give you a bunch of shit and saying I'm a man child every time I have a cold. And just because she's not wrong doesn't mean she has to be a dick about it. That's all I'm saying. Like
Yeah, right. Why you gotta be like that?
you're supposed to be taking care of me. You know, I know you take care of everything else around here, but like
No,
some, you
go,
know.
you're a bitch, and they hand you a bottle.
I mean, right, you know, just, but sometimes I just need to be a little bitch. Just let me be a bitch sometimes, you know, just let me be all weak so I get like the body chills too. So like, yeah, that's what I know I'm done for. If I start getting cold and it's 72 in here, then I'm like, uh-oh.
I
So
get aches.
yeah, that's the beginning of it. I get the chills and then the aches and then I'm just bedridden for a few days. Like it just
Yeah.
like a wave of it. So
I get
hopefully
tight like right up here by the traps and behind the neck. Yeah.
all that shit and all shit feels hot, even though you're like fucking chilling and you're like shivering and shit. Oh, it's the worst, dude. It's the worst. So she calls it a man cold, but real G's know. Real G's know. That's like getting hit by a freight train.
Yeah.
That's what it feels like.
Can't
See, look at you.
even can't even talk sometimes. God damn.
And look at that, people. He's still here trying to do an episode for you. That is just determination, dedication. I respect it. I respect it. 'Cause like I told you, I would have been like, we gotta take a week off, bro. I gotta go to sleep.
Man, no, man. I mean, I wouldn't be sleeping anyway, so I got nothing better to do, honestly, but play video
That's everybody. You have to rest how you rest. You have to you re recharge the batteries the way you got to recharge them. So some
Yeah.
people sleep, some people game. You know, it's I like both. I like both, honestly. I
Can't go
can't sleep
wrong.
that well. Yeah, I'm a light
Flip a
sleeper anyway,
coin.
so
I'm cool with whatever. Yeah.
exactly. God damn. That's crazy, man. Well, I'm sorry you're feeling like shit. Hopefully it sounds like you're on the mend, getting a little
No,
better,
yeah.
kind of getting there. You sound the
No,
same,
yeah.
so
We good. Like,
you just got that 70s fucking beehive hairstyle going on, like my mama used to wear, so that's a little different. It's a different look for you.
that's the I'm still sick hair. You know what I'm saying?
It's
I
all
ain't
up in a
got
bun.
time to fix it right now. I ain't got no fade. I'll fix it when I feel better and I get a fade. Fuck it.
The fade's gone. That's when you know shit's dire. If the
Yeah.
fade's not there, oh man.
Yeah, that's when you know something's wrong.
I feel your pain. Hopefully the lady friend of yours is taking care of things, you know. And
Well, all right, man. Look,
oh, here
speaking
we
of this,
go. Yeah,
before we fucking start the show, while I'm pouring up this Four Roses again.
I like how you didn't even stop doing that either. You're like, fuck it. It's gonna kill something in there, I guess.
Man, alcohol is supposed to purify, right? Like when you
Dude,
get a cut.
if you got like a little, like I don't know if you have this in your kitchen or whatever, but you got like some lemon and like some tea or something, you got a hot toddy right there. Just fucking boil that shit up, bro. That'll clear all that shit. Gone. Little honey, little lemon, little bourbon, and like some hot water. Boom. It'll wipe you out. All that shit's
I gotta
cleaned
try
out.
that. I gotta try
Hot
that.
toddy. I do a hot toddy every time, man. That's the real cure all. But go on. What were you saying?
But anyway, I went over Kelly Rowland's house Saturday night.
Nice.
She was gonna take care of me. Was.
Was.
Until I took care of her. Let
Okay.
me explain. Let me explain. So Saturday, I got very curious. You know, I've been
Okay.
hearing things about this honey pack. You know what I mean?
Honey
You know what
pack.
I'm talking about? Well,
I don't think I do.
so a honey pack, like it's a sexual enhancer for men.
Okay.
And it's, you know what I'm saying, supposed to make you like extremely, extremely erected.
Like a little blue pill, essentially. Extremely.
And I was thinking, like, let's see how effective this is. I'm gonna take it now when I'm sick. Let's see how I lay the pipe.
There you go. See if it pushes through.
And so I'm over at her house. I feel it kicking in. She's over there making me some soup.
Ooh, all
She was
right.
making me, I forgot what it's called, but it's this Mexican soup with chicken, rice. Forgot what it's called.
Sounds
But
good.
so I go over there in the kitchen where she's at,
Is this
and I
the
start,
dream?
and
This is the dream you started talking about months ago of how you do you remember that? When we describe like your perfect setup, if you had a girl, it'd be to do it in the kitchen.
and
I
I'm
remember
scrambling
this
her
story.
eggs and shit.
Exactly, yes. As as he says she's making you some soup, I'm like, he did it. It's
Well, drink to
the dream. Hey, atta boy.
that. Yeah, so I started testing the product, and they may get an ad for me soon, very soon.
Okay. Unofficial sponsor coming up soon. Okay, I like it.
And then we went from the kitchen. That was like round one.
Okay.
To the room. That was like round two.
Got it.
But from the room, we didn't move. So,
Oh.
like, we put each other to bed. I'm not even gonna say
Oh,
I put her to bed, because I put
okay.
her to bed, but
Right.
she also put me to bed. I ain't gonna cap.
Nice. Hey, I like that.
And we
That's how it
wake
should
up.
be.
Right? And we wake up. I roll over, see crust in her eyes. I'm over there picking it out.
Oh God. Y'all
Blankets
sound
all
like a married
sticky and
couple.
shit.
Oh, dude, I had to peel myself out of bed like a fruit roll up. That's disgusting. God.
She looks at me. She's like, "Babe, what time is it?" I look and I'm like, "Oh, it's only 2:30
The morning? Oh.
in the morning."
Oh, jeez.
She's like, "Fuck the
Oh
soup."
no.
She went over there. The water was all evaporated. Everything was fucked up and burnt. Rice was black. Looked like little mini burnt coals. So I fucked myself on that one, literally.
Literally, you did.
I fucked
Oh,
myself.
that's so good. That's so good.
I mean, I did wake up feeling better. I ain't gonna lie. Like, I woke up feeling like a whole new man.
I bet
But the
that'll do it.
sinuses and the symptoms were all still there, unfortunately.
Yeah, I mean, you're treating two very different illnesses there. So
I mean, one of
I'm
them
not
isn't really an
surprised.
illness.
It can become one if you don't now. Stop fucking around. Dude, burn the soup. That's so good. That sounds like out of a rap song, man. That's some J. Cole shit. I love it. I love it. Well, good
so, yeah.
for you.
So she
good
tried
for
to
you.
Take care of me, but
sounds
I
like she did.
Had other plans.
Yeah, she took care of you all right. Right, better than that soup. Hey, yo, she took care of you better than that soup was ever going to do for you.
Oh, that's facts. That's facts.
It's not even close.
Oh, yeah. I definitely agree with that. Yeah.
Well, there you go. It always helps having that companion kind of be there for you at a dark time, like a cold or something. So I'm glad. I'm glad.
I really needed it that day.
And it's funny you mentioned that because, oh, my God, I've had this conversation with Rach all the time, too, when I go, because I like to get it in, too. Don't you fucking worry.
Hey,
Folks,
hey,
folks,
hey. You
folks.
remember that relationship episode when we were like, oh, sex. Yep, sex. Oh,
Yep,
you too?
yep.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Yep.
And
There
yes,
we go.
there you go. So for if y'all didn't know, now you know. But we had, I don't know the hell we were talking about, but it was months ago. And I talked about, like, pretty much how I could do it, like, anytime. Most guys can just drop a hat. Oop, gone. Done.
Yep.
Let's get it going.
Yep.
And she's like, that's crazy. You know, I can't believe like guys can like literally like she couldn't comprehend the fact that it's like chemical for us. That it's literally a response
It's a
physically.
switch.
It's a switch. But for me, I'm like, dude, you gotta realize, like, for me, it's not even about like the quality. Quality's amazing, but it's like I'm looking for opportunities. I'm always looking for opportunities. Like you said, you saw an opportunity because all of a sudden something kicked in. Someone's making soup. That's an opportunity that presents itself. So
let me go scramble some eggs and help you out.
Exactly. You're like, I can spend some time. Now, I'm sure at the time you weren't thinking it's going to take you like 4 freaking hours and a, you know, sleep and burnt soup and all that. But at the time you're probably thinking, I can get
this
in
is a
and
great
out.
idea.
That's a great idea. What else we got going on? Like shit. So with her, I'm like, it's the opportunity. If I feel that I can pull like 10 minutes away from anything we're doing, or the kids, like, you know, just not needing anything for 10 minutes. Yes. Excuse yourself to the bedroom. Like,
and I'm gonna get what I need.
I'm gonna get what I need too. I mean, the idea is that she gets what her needs are too. But that's my thing is, if she's so not about always doing it, I mean, you know, she has fun with it too. But it's like, if it's nowhere near the amount that I'm trying to do it, like, I'm not gonna just take it into my own hands. Like, sometimes just take one for the team. Just let me in and out. 5 minutes. 5 minutes. It makes my day so much better. I'm sure chemically it makes her day better, even if it's inconvenient.
Oh, yeah.
You know,
Oh, yeah.
it's a scientific principle that it benefits both partners. So I'm trying to get it morning, noon, and night, just like you. Doesn't change if you're married, but I just think it's funny where you're like, oh, yeah, we just knocked it out a few times at night. I'm like, that's what I'm trying to do. God, God, I'm trying to like triple my numbers. Just because I have it, I'm so terrified of like, you always hear like old dudes like say, like, I shouldn't even say old dudes, old couples are always like, oh, you know, we don't do it anymore. We never done it. We haven't done it in years. And it baffles me every time. I'm like, how do people go years?
Like, I can't imagine that pain on it. I don't wish that upon my worst enemies.
Thank you. Like, and it's not even like, I can see if you're just like celibate or something, or you're single and you can't find somebody, whatever. But if you're married and you have a companion who shares a bed with you, and y'all ain't done it in, like, what? Y'all ain't done it in years? What are you doing?
You got me fucked up.
Right. I get
even
it's
if
like
we on the
physical,
worst of terms.
Exactly.
If we sleeping in the same bed, I'm gonna get my shit in.
Right. Like, come on, man. That's what you signed up for a little bit. And of course, you know, not excluding anybody who's physically unable, and everybody's got their own situations, of course. But for the general population, what are y'all doing?
I'm getting my shit
years?
In.
I'm getting my shit, man. I mean, if it's a no, it's a no. But you only can succeed if you take the at bat. It's about how many swings you take. You got to at least try.
Yeah. The more you shoot, the more you make.
Right. So when I tell her, like, yo, if when I have the flu, I'm still trying to get it. Like, those are two, I explain, those are two very different systems at work. One is like chemical body, you know, disease kind. That's got nothing to do with Mr. Beans down there. That's
Hell
not the official
no.
name. That's got
Hell
none.
no.
That runs. That's its own manager. That's its own manager. So if the rest of the house is on fire, I told her I could be up in the hospital. But when I got my gallbladder out, I thought about it. I'm not gonna lie. When I was in the hospital bed, and she was there. We were just spending all day together because she's not doing anything, just watching TV. There was a part of me that went, I'm in a lot of pain, but I wonder if I could smash for 5 minutes.
Like, I ain't in that much pain.
Not in that much. I'm never in that much pain. If I'm missing a limb, I'm probably still thinking about it. Like,
Let me get mine off.
Right. I'm just saying. Guys are simple. Ladies, y'all think we all complicate it. We're quite simple.
Very simple. Very, very simple.
Oh, yeah. But that's all right. Again, glad you're doing okay. We are not doing shit around here, but we are preparing because this coming weekend, I've mentioned this before, is my favorite weekend of the year, personally. And that is our annual trip to Jacksonport, Wisconsin, up north, going down this weekend at our friend's cabin. Cannot wait. I do it every year. I said it this time last year, too. I get to be me with no kids in a secluded cabin with a private beach, even though the weather's going to suck a little bit. Private beach, just doing my thing and partying and drinking my face off for like 48 hours straight. So I am very much looking forward to it. It almost didn't even happen either because we also go on this camping trip with the family, with the in-laws, and we go in July. And every year, it's like the same week. But for some reason, this year, they accidentally booked it the same weekend of Jacksonport. So there was a time for the last few weeks where I was like, I don't get to go to Jacksonport this year. I've been crushed because I thought I couldn't go. But then we rallied, and we're making the weekend happen this weekend. So I am over the moon. I'm going to come back next week's episode, probably still hungover. I can't fucking wait. It's the best time ever. So, yes, you'll have.
That's fucking dope.
I'll say I might bring you a story, but we'll see. Usually what happens in Jacksonport stays in Jacksonport, so I usually don't say a lot. But that's, again, there's a reason that's my favorite weekend of the year. So let's get this episode going and in the book so that I can get that side of my weekend going after tomorrow because I get to work from home on Friday and then fucking leave at noon, pack the car, and fucking head up there. So let's fucking go. Can't wait.
That's a dad-ass, like, getaway.
Oh, it's the best, dude. It's the best. I think it's like 10 of us going too, so it's just gonna be yeah, we're gonna
a bunch of dads.
No, man, it's actually quite a lot of just single friends and things like that. So again, there's no kids, so it's just, you know, got a mix. A couple of us are married, you know, Rachel's with me, and then quite a few of them are not. So it's yeah, man. We just beer ponging and grilling and music and lots of whiskey. So that's my vacation. I can't fucking wait. Let's get the show started because we got some shit to talk about. What do you think?
Yeah, let's cue the music.
1, 2, 3.
All right, folks, welcome back. This is the Bank Bro Show. You know what it is because you push play. And as always, we are very appreciative that you take the time out of your busy schedule to spend some time with some nonsense that we like to put together for you. My name is Siege. That's Rizzy, even though he's got the flu. But he's still Rizzy. He might be Rizzy, but he's still the same guy. And he's very relaxed right now, too. I think he's still feeling the effects of his little magic pill. So hopefully it carries you through and you can keep your... Your strength up the whole episode.
It's actual honey. Like, it's not a pill or anything.
Oh, it's actual honey. Oh, yeah. Weird.
It was one of those to-go lemonade or fruit punch packets that you put in your water.
Oh, sure. A little.
It came in something like that, but it was just pure honey.
And you just pour it down. That was it.
Yeah, it tasted really good.
Weird. How long did it take to kick in? He asking for a friend.
Well, all right, how long did it take for it to kick in? I don't know, because I always want to have sex.
He said I couldn't tell a difference. We just did it.
So, yeah, I really couldn't tell, but like, I noticed that I can go more rounds.
That's good stuff. That's what my friend would want to know about. Well, how long between the time you took it and the kitchen incident?
Maybe 90 minutes.
That's not bad.
Yeah, maybe.
That's pretty fast acting.
You can't just, well, I mean, you could, but I wasn't about to just go over there and be like, all right, we fucking.
Yeah. Giddy up.
You know, you got to go over there, you know what I'm saying? do your
butter
little
it up a little bit.
thing. Yeah, you know what I'm saying? Oh, my head hurts.
Oh, I think you should cuddle me just for a little bit,
Yeah, you know what I'm
naked,
saying? Yeah.
you know. That's
Oh, do you want anything? Can you make me some soup?
all
She goes, make it.
right. She made you some soup, all right. But I
Yep, that's
digress.
the trap. That's the
Ah,
trap.
that's a trap. That's how they get you. Oh man, we're back for another one. More NBA in the books, and we want to get into our Madden results again right away, just because apparently there's more shots to take. And he's already started drinking, so we might as well keep that shit going. And I'm buckling up because I'm not confident. I lost by one last week, but with the team I picked, I listened to the episode again and listened back to the team I picked, and I said, "What the fuck was I thinking? What the hell? I think I can't handle the spotlight. I feel very confident until it's time to pick, and then I fucking panic." So why don't you go over results, and I already have the Seagram's ready to go right here. I figure I'm about to drink quite a bit, but regale us, sir. How did we do this time?
Well, first I want to ask you, how many games do you think you won?
See, the fact you're even asking me that makes me think I won zero. So I'm gonna say two.
Close.
Ooh, is it
You
one?
won one.
God damn it!
You won one. It was
Oh!
not like three of these games got real ugly.
Oh, God.
They got real ugly. And mind you, this is just a sim on Madden franchise mode.
Yep. Fuck. I knew it. I fucking knew it.
One game was 17-0, you having zero.
Good God. With Lamar Jackson. Are you
But I only
kidding?
had 17 points.
That's okay. That's surprising because my
My
defense is fucking
quarterback,
shit. Oh,
hey,
yeah. Who's your quarterback? Yeah.
my quarterback was Derek Carr.
Oh, that's better than Jameis Winston.
No,
That's
I'd
the
rather have
same.
Jameis.
I'm about to say that's actually, yeah.
No, you see the
Yeah.
thing about these. Okay, so I barely scored any points. I'll be honest with you. A lot of
Oh.
these games were my defense dominate. Like that
Oh.
17-0 game. Where's it at? That 17-0 game. Derrick Brown, two forced fumbles.
Fucking figures.
Jonathan Allen, two fumble recoveries, and then Devin Witherspoon had a pick six.
Of course he did. As soon as he got
So,
Witherspoon, that's how I was screwed.
yeah, he's. I love Devin Witherspoon, man.
I hate him.
Oh.
I hate him so much.
So
Ugh.
that was
Ugh.
one game.
Okay.
The other game was 21-3.
Fucking hell.
I mean, Lamar didn't turn the ball over this game,
Cool.
but it seemed like he just kept getting sacked. That was the
Lovely.
story for a lot of these games.
The offensive line fucked me up again.
Yeah, mind you, I have Jonathan Allen, Montez Sweat, Derrick Brown, Nick Bosa. And that was a Nick Bosa game. He had three sacks.
Jesus.
So that's 2-0. Next game, you won this game. This game was
Hey.
also pretty low scoring to Madden standards. 20-10.
That is low. Yeah.
Very
Huh.
low.
Wow.
It was guess who caught your touchdown?
Jackson Smith and Jigba.
He absolutely did.
Of course he did. He's the first guy I picked. He has to reward me somehow.
Man, he caught your only touchdown, and then Lamar ran the other
Good
one.
God.
And
Good God.
then these next two games. This is when the scoring gets to go up a little bit.
Okay.
In this game, you actually score 24 points.
Not bad. I'll take
And
that.
somehow I score 27.
Oh, it's a close game. Okay.
It was a close game.
Okay. I'll take a close loss.
That was a close game. Honey Badger had a good game for me this game. He had a pick, a fumble recovery, and eight tackles.
Damn. Okay.
That was like the standout performer.
That's
Everyone
it.
else did what they were supposed to do. Like Roquan Smith had like 10 tackles.
I forgot you had Roquan too. Jesus Christ, that
Yeah.
defense.
Now you wonder why, or now you know why the team hasn't been scoring.
Exactly. Yeah, they're all. It's all defense. Yeah.
And then this last game, it was 21-37. I won
That's a
that
whooping.
last game. I don't
That's
know
a
how.
whooping.
Well, I know how I scored 37. It's because Jaire Alexander had a pick six,
God.
and then Brian Branch had a fumble recovery. He returned for a touchdown.
Stack defense.
Yeah,
God
so
damn.
that's +14. I mean, your offense wasn't bad. It was just your O line that couldn't block. That was really the issue.
I'm cursed, man. It's a curse as a Bears fan. I just cannot build an O-line. I think I'm just
For
incapable.
even
Somebody's getting hurt.
Doesn't work out.
I get Kyle Long or something, like, you know, really, really good, and then he just falls apart.
You know, I was thinking about it, and if you would have went like, if you would have went wide receiver earlier in the draft and got to the Lions and taken Penei Sewell, that could have made all the difference for you.
That would have been a big difference. So yeah, it's the trying to do better than what you pick is what's catching me. So I'll take somebody and go like, or I'll skip somebody thinking I could do better, and then I get the Panthers. They go, fuck. Fuck, fuck, fuck.
Now you got to take Bryce Young.
No, I have to. You're right. So it's mother balls. I knew it. All right. So how many shots is that?
That's 4 minus 1. That's 3.
Fucking 3 shots. All right.
And I'll take a sip of this with you.
I appreciate you. Stupid Madden. That's why I stopped playing it. So I suck at playing it with my hands.
And now even I suck in the at
making picks. Can't even make simulated picks correctly. God. And yet I've won multiple fantasy championships. I'm staring at a trophy right now, but I can't pick a Madden a fucking team. That's so weird.
Hey, it's a tale of two things. Or what the fuck is it? It's a tale of two cities, right?
Yeah.
Because your skill players are good.
Yeah.
You only pick skill players in fantasy.
Yep. And it's gotten me far, but.
Yeah.
I got to start thinking about the trenches, I guess.
Yeah. Yeah.
And we don't draft old linemen. Yeah. We don't draft old linemen in fantasy. So.
No. And I guess Madden values O line
pretty fucking heavily, it sounds.
I guess
like.
It does. Yeah. O line and D line, I guess. Because.
Oh, God.
Yeah. My defensive line was just trenches. Just
dominant. Crazy. That's crazy. Well, here's to you. Cheers, sir.
Cheers, man.
It's awful. All right. Moving on, instead of me destroying my liver a little bit more here, let's get back to the NBA playoffs because, again, it's the biggest thing going in sports right now, and got a lot of weird, wacky shit happening as we just barrel towards the finals. And I want to talk about for a second, because that's all it's going to take us, the Boston Celtics, who, since last week, have dismantled the Indiana Pacers and swept them to advance to the NBA finals yet again. Like we all called, my coworkers, best friends, Barber's dead great grandmother called that one.
And the last player she seen play was Bob Cousy.
Exactly. So everyone, their mom called that shit. No one surprised Boston in the finals. This route to the finals is nuts. We'll talk about that in a second. The East, we've been saying 4 months has been utter trash. I don't know what the hell we're gonna do to rebalance this shit, but it's pretty fucking whack in the East. But let me know how game 4 wins. Only a 3-point win for them to advance, but what'd you see in game 4? That anything stand out to you, or is this just business as usual for Boston?
No, this something stood out. Because if you watch this game, Indiana was leading for damn near the whole game.
Yeah.
It looked like Boston was just out there just going through the motions. And then 3 minutes left in the fourth quarter, 2 minutes left in the fourth quarter, it just seemed like Jrue Holiday said, okay, it's time for me to take over on the defensive end of the court. Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown looked at each other like, all right, it's go time. Like, we've been hanging around this game. Indiana's only been up 10, 12 points at most.
Yeah, not bad.
So it's time for us to do what we do and be the vets and close this game out. And within the snap of a finger, that's exactly what happened. Mm. It was just like clockwork. Like, oh, this is the Boston team I thought was going to show up earlier in this game. Mm. And I forgot what they ended that game on, like what kind of run they ended that game on. Maybe you could pull up that stat. But watching that game, I felt like every shot Boston took in the final 2 or 1.5 minutes
would not be fucking made.
This game happened sometime last week, so it's been a little while. I can't really recall the game as well as I wanted to. Mainly because I knew exactly what was going to happen. Because Indiana is just simply outmatched by the star power and firepower of the Boston Celtics on both ends of the court. Shout out to Andrew Nebhard. He played very well. The other guy, I keep forgetting his name. He came from the Celtics. Small forward for the Pacers. Andrew Nebhard. And I don't know why.
Neesmith.
Yes.
You keep forgetting Neesmith. It's Nebhard and Neesmith. It's too similar.
I don't know, man, but he played well. Siakam tried all he could. You know, he's not meant to be a number one option like that.
No.
And they missed Halliburton in that sense, because Halliburton would have took some of the offensive load off of him. Even though Miles Turner played excellent throughout this whole series, honestly throughout this whole playoffs. But today's league is a guard-driven league. And I know Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown are considered forwards and wings, but they are wings that can do guard things. So
Ooh,
when you're
bars.
6'7", 6'9", can handle the ball, get to any spot that you want, left hand, right hand, finish over somebody above the rim, shoot the three, you're pretty much a guard. You're just a big ass fucking guard. What makes it that much harder to guard?
Right.
And shout out to Jaylen Brown, because he finally got some recognition that I believe he deserved. Like, he deserved to be on an all NBA team this year, I believe.
Yeah, I agree.
I don't know how Kawhi made it, and he didn't. Kawhi missed like half the season.
That's a good point. I don't get that shit.
Cool. There's a lot of players I would put over Kawhi, but Jaylen Brown is one of them.
Oh, yeah.
Other one is LeBron. I don't know how he made second team and LeBron made third team. Doesn't make any sense.
Seeing LeBron the third team, which is jarring as it is, like, what? He doesn't do
Yeah.
thirds.
Like, I would understand a third team for LeBron if you had like KD, Giannis, Jason Tatum,
Right.
and someone else as a forward. You know what I mean?
Then I get
But Kawhi, who missed half the season, whatever. We don't
it.
vote.
We don't vote. That's how it
But
fucking
Jaylen Brown
goes.
averaged for the series about 30 points a game, shot very well from the field. I believe he shot 40% from three. So he had it going like all series long. And when Jason Tatum wasn't doing his thing in the first half of games, like in game, I believe it was three or two, Jaylen Brown picked up the slack. Jaylen Brown was consistent throughout the whole series. And if Jaylen Brown wasn't consistent on the offensive end, the way he has been, I think they play an extra game.
There you go. I was gonna say, I know you're not gonna say they flip it, because no,
No, they
no,
play an
no.
extra game.
One extra game. That's it.
That's it. But other than that, this series, that was it.
It sure was a series, all right. But
That was it.
it brings up my next question that I wanted to ask you, because looking at the East, and again, we've talked shit about the East for a long time now, but looking at how this all unfolded for the Celtics to go from the beginning to the NBA Finals, with the Heat 5 games, Cavs 5 games, Pacers 4 games, and major injuries to every single star player on those teams. Not every single one, but Jimmy Butler goes down that in that series. Jared Allen, who's a huge piece for the Cavaliers, not he misses the whole series. Then they lose Donovan Mitchell at the end, which I think they're already dead to rights at that point anyway. But Mitchell is a huge presence. And then, like you said, losing Halliburton in this series. Like, my question is, is this the easiest run to the finals you've ever seen, or are the Celtics just that good, or a little bit of both?
See, that's a very good question, because I do think comparing this finals run to other teams in the past,
Sure.
when it comes to the Eastern Conference, you can definitely make the case that this was probably the easiest road we've seen in the last 10, 15 years.
Long fucking time.
Maybe 20 years.
Yeah, it's hard to think of one that's easier than this.
No, I
When it
can't.
all fell into place, everything that happened was exactly how the Celtics needed it to happen.
I mean, they didn't play the Bucks not one time. They didn't play Philly not one time. They played a banged up Heat team,
You
a
even
banged up
liked the
Cavs
Magic
team.
more than the Cavs, so they didn't see the
Yeah.
Magic either. It's Knicks were on
And it,
fire, then they weren't. So,
Knicks got banged up too.
yeah, exactly. So the East is decimated.
But I will say this, Boston dominated the way that they should have. You know, 4-1, 4-1, 4-0. I think them meeting expectations, that alone should merit some type of praise, so to say.
Agreed. Absolutely.
Because what would have happened if they went 7 games with this banged up Indiana team? Then what's the narrative?
Lot
Oh,
of
is this
questions.
team really for real? Because if they were, they would have finished this team in four. Oh, but then they finished this team in four, but you guys are still questioning the legitimacy of this Boston Celtics team.
Now
They
it's too
did
easy.
exactly what you thought they should have done.
Right.
So, like, the Boston Celtics, either way, they can't win. All they can do is play whoever's in front of them and beat them. That's all they could do.
Hell yeah.
And No credit should be taken away from this Boston Celtics team. Their fan base should still be proud, just as proud as if they beat a healthy Knicks team.
Exactly.
And I just want to put this into perspective, because if we take a look back at the 2021 Eastern Conference playoffs, Brooklyn Nets versus Milwaukee Bucks.
Yes.
James Harden goes down. Kyrie Irving goes down. Kevin Durant pushes this to a 7-game series. Kevin Durant with an old Blake Griffin, Jeff Green, like
the old Steph dogs.
Curry. That's who he's playing with. Push this to a 7-game series. Obviously, we know what happens. Bucks won. Bucks win the championship.
Yep. But Brooklyn challenged a shot of him, though.
With just KD.
So
at that point. So it's like, we don't take anything away from that Bucks championship run.
Nope.
So we shouldn't take anything away from this finals run from the Boston Celtics. They just got to finish it off.
Absolutely. No, I totally agree with that. I think it's a little bit of both. Like, yeah, the way this all kind of unfolded is a little nuts if you look at it on paper and go, did they have like a lucky horseshoe up their ass that they rubbed every week? Like, what kind of curses are you putting on these teams that are facing you? But let's not pretend like the Celtics didn't just dominate this whole fucking season. So, yeah, like you said, this is the run they should be having. This is the dominant Celtics we were saying at the beginning were title contenders, especially after they had added Holiday. We're like, oh.
Yeah.
So they covered all the holes they had left. They should be winning the whole thing. So I'm just seeing a lot of narrative out there about how easy the road is. And I go, that's jealousy. Stop it. Yes, it's easy, but it's now you can take it away from them. And again, it's not like they swept every single one. It was 4-5-4 or 5-5-4. So
yeah,
they're dominating, but they're doing what they need to get done. That's it. Like, if they don't win the whole thing, maybe I'll have some questions and go, how did you not win this? Like, this was, the table was set. And unless, to get ahead of myself, if this ends up how I think it's going to, how most people think it's going to, and they do see Dallas in the finals, I think that's a good thing too for Boston. They match up really well with Dallas. Like, defensively.
We can get into that later.
We can get into that later. I know how you feel about Dallas, but I want to circle back to that. If Dallas gets to the finals,
when?
When they get to the finals, we'll do a full preview for that, because I feel like that's a good thing for Boston too. But let's talk about the Mavs, since they're in the Western Conference, and they also had an opportunity to sweep here, but they didn't get the job done against Timberwolves, who found a little bit of life. Almost is the answer here, but Minnesota hung on game four. You get to see a game five. Cat and Ant got the job done. Cat found his shooting again. Ant was like one assist from a triple-double. So that was a great game for both. I mean, Ant, we kind of come to expect it. Cat, it's been a little bit of time, but you know, a couple games ago, he was great. Then he kind of fell off. Then he's coming back. So with Minnesota trying to get back on here, what's your thoughts, A, on game four and how it ended up, and B, too little too late, or are we seeing a comeback here?
I'll go through game four first.
Before
Minnesota finally made an adjustment.
An adjustment.
And that adjustment was one or two adjustments. One, we're going to play smaller earlier. Mm-hmm. And two, we're going to attack the paint because we play with two centers. Wow, mind-blowing. You play with two centers and you just want to shoot threes. And you finally take the ball into the paint with two centers and you win the game.
Oh, imagine
oh my
that.
God.
Imagine that.
Wow. I don't know if it's coaching. I don't know if it's Karl Anthony Towns being a three-point happy-go-lucky type of guy.
Could be.
But Karl Anthony Towns finally put his head down and attacked the basket because he realized he's the biggest player on the court. Mm. Even Daniel Gafford is smaller than Karl Anthony Towns.
That's crazy.
And Daniel Gafford starts at center for the Dallas Mavericks.
Right. That's it's, I always forget how big Cat is.
Yeah. That's big what makes dude. Him so special. It's because he can shoot and because he can play inside. But the fact that he doesn't want to play inside as often as he should is what makes guys like me extremely confused and question who he actually is as a basketball player, because we know what type of talent he has.
Right.
He just rarely ever shows it.
Mm, that's fair.
He only showcases his shooting touch for the most part. Karl Anthony Towns coming out of college, he was a dominant post player. He was taking dudes in the post and looking like Hakeem Olajuwon, turnaround jumpers, hook shots, drop step, two-hand dunk, finish. Like, he wasn't known as a shooter at Kentucky.
Mm.
He, coming out the draft, said himself, I'm going to showcase that I'm a better shooter than what I was better than what I was showcased at Kentucky.
Yeah.
And damn, he showed that, but damn, he also showed that he forgot how to get his ass in the post. And he finally got his ass in the post.
Hey.
Number two, playing small, putting Kyle Anderson in the game earlier, putting Naz Reid in the game, sitting Gobert and Cat at times. That paid dividends, especially to the Gobert. Minnesota Timberwolves. Because if you haven't noticed, and listeners, if y'all haven't noticed, who are the Dallas Mavericks going at every single time they get a high pick and roll? The big Frenchman.
The defensive player of the year, you mean? That guy? That guy.
Wait, he won defensive player of the year?
That
he
guy.
Can't even play defense. Who Four is he times. Stopping?
Four-time defensive
In
player
In game
of the year.
Three, Luka got a switch. You can see Jaden McDaniels' face. Everybody knows that face. That's the fuck. We out. Fuck.
We out.
They got us.
Yep.
And during the post-game press conference, what did Kyrie Irving say? Well, when I saw Luka got the switch, that's a matchup we wanted.
Play right into their hands.
So what kind of defensive player of the year do we have here?
Four-time.
Oh, you mean like Ben Wallace? I don't remember the last time somebody said, I want Ben Wallace to guard me.
No, I don't want him in the same building.
No, I want him sick. I don't want him. I want a DMP.
Yeah, please.
I want please. A chance to score points. I want a chance to maybe make a layup.
Right. My girl's
Dennis
watching.
Rodman, you ever seen somebody say, I want Dennis Rodman to guard me because I just want to feel the most intense defense and get my butt squeezed for 48 minutes.
Maybe their wives said that.
Oh, like Carmen Electra.
Exactly. Yeah, that's about it, though. That's the only defense he wants to play.
And that brings me to my next point. Dallas knows they're going to win. And they know there's nothing that Minnesota can do about it. And Minnesota knows that Dallas is going to win, too. They just didn't want to get swept.
Yeah. The gentleman's sweep coming, I think.
Because their biggest problem is that their team is built to play in the 2000s.
Oh, yeah.
It is 2024. It is a guard-driven league. Anthony Edwards is great. Don't get me wrong. He's a guard. He's great. They're not losing because of him.
Nope.
They won that game because of him.
Absolutely.
His aggression set the tone for the rest of that team.
He's a real leader.
But his bigs, specifically Rudy Gobert, serves absolutely no purpose on the basketball court outside of setting screens. All of Rudy Gobert's points come off of offensive rebounds, or he gets set up by a teammate for a lob or for an easy dunk. Those are all of his points.
I don't get how he keeps winning this shit.
When they've thrown the ball to Rudy Gobert in the post, he's fucked up.
Yeah.
He couldn't score on Luka in the post.
No.
7-1, 7-2 on 6-9. Couldn't score on him in the post.
Can't
starting
figure it
out. In the NBA. That's their problem. How are you big, can't score in the paint, can't shoot a lick, but winning defensive player of the year and still getting scored on? That's the issue right there. They're not going to bench Rudy Gobert for the entirety of the playoffs.
No.
But that's what they need to do.
Absolutely.
Play Naz Reid. Play Kyle Anderson.
Yep.
Those guys are going to give you a chance to win because at least they can make it difficulter, harder on Luka Doncic and Kyrie Irving.
But difficulter.
Good luck.
You're right.
Your chances are as real as that word that I just said, difficulter.
Exactly. What a play, man. Get back around with that. That was good.
Kyrie Irving, Luka Doncic, that's the best duo in the NBA right now.
It's hard to argue that.
I know Kyrie didn't shoot particularly well, but if you notice Kyrie in the playoffs, he's not forcing the issue. He's playing point guard. When he has the ball, he's playing point guard. When he doesn't have the ball, he's not asking for it. He's not begging for it. If offense comes to him, he'll make something happen. That's how he's been playing. He's taking on that leadership role. That's why his numbers have been down. He's trying to get PJ Washington shots, Derrick Jones shots, etc. But yeah, Dallas will finish this next game in Minnesota.
I think so. And yeah, if we get that Dallas-Boston final, like I said, that's not a final for me, but I'm going to watch it. It's a different Dallas than the Mavs I'm used to, than the Nowitzki days and shit. But like,
oh yeah, the
yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah. That's the Mavs I'm used to. So every time I hear Mavs, I go,
it ain't throw the ball in mid range to Dirk and just have him shoot over everybody anymore.
It was the only play in the playbook every fucking game, any championship. That's the same fucking play. So just it drove me bananas when the Mavs were actually like a championship team like that. Like I didn't get it. It's like when fucking we had the NFL and it was just Brady and Manning all the fucking time, and I go, why? How did we get here where I'm getting boring ass football all the time? It's successful football, but it's boring as fuck. That was Nowitzki. I respect his game so much, but boring as fuck. So, but it's successful. It's the same with Jokic. I think Jokic is boring as fuck, but he's very smart. He's so technical, and he's so gifted, and he does not give a shit. So it makes up for it. But Jokic's actual game is basic as shit. He just does basic better than anybody. So that gets you championships. So with Dallas, it's yes, it's Luka and Kyrie. That's not your daddy's Nowitzki. I get that. But for me, it's just like, oh, if they – let's go even crazier and say Dallas wins the whole thing. I don't know what to say about that. That's a team I never saw coming, even with that talent. So
I try to warn you.
You did try to warn me, but what the fuck? I never had Dallas going this far. If I'm mistaken, I didn't even have them in the playoffs.
No, I don't think you did.
I think I had them as like a last one out because it was, the West was stacked.
I had them as a dark horse.
That's right.
So to go deep in the playoffs, yeah.
So I didn't even have them going this, like even being in this show.
I think it's because subconsciously, basketball fans as a whole, we have gotten accustomed to a certain way and formula of winning.
Yes, I can see
that. Dallas Mavericks are not constructed in that traditional way.
No.
They're constructed.
I can't figure them out.
They're constructed in the present day era of how to win in today's era.
Yeah, I can see that.
They got two extremely talented ball handlers that can take over a game and close a game in any given moment. They can make any shot, get to anywhere on the court, and Kyrie and Luka. They got two bigs that can switch on and guard anybody for spurts and periods of times, block shots, grab rebounds, catch lobs. And they have a big in Derek Lively, who is a great playmaker in the short roll, meaning when he's not rolling all the way to the basket off the pick and he's rolling just to the free throw line area, he can take a dribble, make a move, take a dribble, make a pass to the right person. That's very underrated. You need a big that can play make like a Draymond Green.
Yes.
And then you got shooters all over the place.
You do.
You got Josh Green. You got Derek Jones. You got PJ Washington. You got Tim Hardaway Jr. You got Jaden Hardy, youngin' who's been playing out of his mind as of late.
Yeah.
So this team, and mind you, the guys I mentioned, Derek Jones, PJ Washington, Tim Hardaway, Josh Green, they all compete and hold their own on the defensive end when guarding the opposing team's wings. And you need that in today's game. So they got a bunch of 3 and D guys. They got two guys that can rebound, finish, and defend and switch, guard multiple positions in the bigs. And they got two extremely talented ball handlers that can take over the game at any given moment. And if you press them in a playoff sense setting, that's not a good idea because you got two guys that can easily break down a press.
That's a good point.
It's just a mismatch.
On paper. Yeah. On paper, I could see the mismatch for sure. It's so odd seeing like the way the team was built, like just completely through the backcourt and then kind of filling in the holes as they go. I was like, oh, it's almost like a backwards way of doing it, but it's totally working for them. And they ended up with just dramatically talented players in the skill positions they needed. So like, that's weird, but you're right. Maybe it's an old bias. I'm just going to go anything with Dallas on that. Go, no, that's every sport. Any Dallas team. No. So we'll see. I'm very interested to see if Minnesota tries to make this interesting instead of just getting the shit kicked out of them every game. But I feel like we're barreling towards Dallas and Boston. And yeah, we're going to talk about that. That's interesting.
That's going to be cool. When that happens, basketball fans like me or basketball nerds like me, they're going to rejoice because we're going to see some beautiful, beautiful basketball.
All I'm doing is putting on clips and letting you talk through every episode of the end of the finals. Just let you go. Just spill it all out, bro.
I'll do it, man. I'll be more than happy to do it. It'll be my pleasure.
Oh, I bet. I think it's time for an unofficial sponsor. Yes.
Who you got this week?
Today's unofficial sponsor is one of my personal favorites that I use on a daily basis, and it's never steered me wrong. It's Bones Coffee, ladies and gentlemen. Bones Coffee. I've had this weird relationship with Bones Coffee for the last few years now. Don't know how I found them. They found me. And let me tell you, folks, this one I'm holding here is a bag of S'morey Time. It tastes like s'mores. All their shit is amazingly flavored. I've tried maybe 15 different flavors now. They're all amazing. Their merch is even dope, too. Look at this shit. They got coffee mugs that have amazing designs. They're all handcrafted, one of a kind. Ooh. So Bones gives you the shit. That's what I'm talking about. And then they give you the shits because it's coffee and it works through you, see?
Oh, yeah.
Bars. But Yes, Bones Coffee is a friend of yours, a friend of mine. Make sure you hit them up. You get like 15% off just for saying, hey, I like coffee. And that's all that matters. They'll give you a free coupon. You can mention us. They don't know us because they're unofficial sponsors, but it's not going to get you anything. But you can tell them that we said hi and we sent you there because maybe it'll turn into something one day. But get you some Bones Coffee because trust me, you don't want to listen to me in the morning, especially for a Saturday morning vibe. And this show is a lot of fun. So make sure you drink a cup of Bones Coffee before you hit play. And then enjoy the Bank Bro Show. Unofficial sponsor.
Bank Bro 10 at checkout.
Exactly. That's just telling you, man. You too, man. Get this shit. It's just fire. Set my whole little coffee bar up. My shit is like, my shit is handcrafted coffee, man. I take the time. The pour over shit, stovetop shit. I take my time.
Okay,
coffee,
so you got a little Starbucks going in there, and a alcoholic center going on in there too. Okay, I see.
Alcoholic center. It's a liquor cabinet. Anyway, and yes, I built the coffee bar for my wife because the idea was she wasn't gonna go to Starbucks as often if we had the coffee here. Yeah,
did you forget she's a white woman?
It's in going the DNA. To Starbucks. It's in the DNA, man. I forgot about that part. It was her idea, so I was believing her. I was like, okay, I'll build it. And it looks beautiful. I put all the little greenery around it. And it sticks out in our dining room. It's really nice and fucking fancy. Like you see it at a hotel. No, she drinks more Starbucks than ever now. And now my daughter drinks it too. So the coffee's usually for me. Hence the Bones Coffee. If I'm the one drinking the coffee in the house, it's Bones Coffee, motherfucker. Oh, my God. Speaking of unnecessary fights that we need to have, let's switch to the UFC. Because the UFC... is holding their 302nd pay-per-view, and that's coming this Saturday, and a lot of interesting fights, at least top three fights on here. There's been a few shakeups on the card, a couple of fights moved from the main down to the prelims. We'll do our shot bets like we always do. We have predictions for the five fights, but we're really going to focus on the top three. So I'll go backwards and start just at the bottom of this main card. We'll do our predictions on this one, and let's get into it. First match on the main card is a welterweight match between Randy Brown, and I'm going to butcher this man's name, but it's Elizu Zaleski dos Santos. Yes. I'm going to call him EZDS because that is much easier. Not a lot about these two guys. Again, I'm very familiar with Randy Brown. EZDS is unranked. Yep. I've only seen him fight a couple times, but I know EZDS has really good striking power. That's the only thing I know about the guy. He can hit. Randy Brown, though, well-rounded fighter. I'm thinking he's getting this as a decision win. He might get a tap out here, but I'm guessing decision win is going to be like his seventh win out of his last eight fights, if I'm not mistaken. So trying to shift the rankings a little bit. This should be enough to get him like a, I don't know, top 20, top 15 ranking if he can get past this. But, you know, beating an unranked guy on a main event card is – it's good for you, but again, EZDS, I just think, isn't that big of a fight for this to have much more notes than that. I'm going Randy Brown, and let's say a decision win.
I actually agree. I'm familiar with Randy Brown. I have no idea who EZDSA is.
EZDS. Let's call him EZDS.
EZDS.
Okay. Yeah.
EZDS. I no idea who he is. Never seen him fight before, to be honest with you. But I'm going with Randy Brown. Because I've seen him fight before. He's tall. I think he's like 6'3 or 6'4.
Took my second shot. Sorry. Forgot to announce it.
Nice.
Go on.
I think he's going to take advantage of his reach. Yep. And he's actually going to win by KO.
I can see it. See, I was like, maybe KO, maybe he runs for three rounds. But either way, I think he's got it.
I think he got it. Because I don't think, according to the stats, EZDS rarely ever goes for a takedown.
Right.
His takedown accuracy is only at about 14%. That's me rounding up.
Yep.
His submission average is at 0.4, which is lower than Randy Brown's, which is at 0.5. And Randy Brown is known as a striker, but he does have some jujitsu. Randy Brown does have wins by submission.
Yes.
But Randy Brown KO.
Yeah. I think that's probably the easiest fight on the card right now. Let's go to the
easier one coming up soon.
Okay. I know the way you're going with that shit. Because usually you say that, you got big money on somebody. But we'll get there, I'm sure. This next fight on the card, another one that's kind of a newer fight. There was a fight that was on here, got scrapped. This one is another welterweight fight, Nico Price and Alex Morono. And this one is actually a rematch. You know, these guys fought back in like 2017. I believe Price knocked out Morono, so this was just kind of an opportunity for Morono to get that kind of that comeback on this one. Both these guys, again, not as well known to a common person, but you know, they've got some decent fights, some decent wins, but I think both these guys are kind of average, below average when it comes to their records, at least right now. Price has only won like one out of his last five, but ironically, one of his wins was against Randy Brown, who we just talked about. So that's funny. And then Morono, he's won 3 out of 5, but you know, nothing lately. And I think his last fight wasn't even that important anyway, but he does have a win over like a legend in Donald Cowboy Cerrone. So both these guys have some wins that are significant, but just neither one is just fighting footing in the rankings yet. So it makes for a very interesting fight, actually. You kind of see who can kind of pull, I almost said pull out, but who can kind of pull themselves up out of the hole. I went there anyway. So, but yes, I am correct. They did fight. Price did knock out Morono, but fun fact, they actually overturned that to a draw because Price got busted for that sticky icky icky. So they turned it into a no contest. And it's like, damn, that's for that? Really? It's not like you can fight much better on that. It's not like he was on drugs, like, you know, coke or something, where he's moving light speed.
Yeah, right.
You know, it's just weed. In fact, he's probably moving slower. So, yeah, and he won. Yeah. So what are you taking away from? So, I don't get that. Like, what? That's more impressive to me. Like, he was moving in slow motion.
And you still knock him out.
Right. That's crazy. But I mean, Price is good. He's good at using his jab to set up a really scrappy ground game. He likes going for submissions. Morono is kind of the opposite. He throws a shit ton of strikes, and he's really big on like the first round knockouts. He's gotten 11 out of 12 round one finishes, and those are all knockouts. That's crazy. Mm-hmm. I'm going Morono, second round knockout. I think he just throws hands. He doesn't play the stupid ground game and just knocks his fucking lights out.
Okay.
That's my pick.
You go Morono, I'm going to actually go with Nico Price.
Mm-hmm.
Good. I think he knocks him out again. And this time, he doesn't get busted for smoking weed.
Or he does and no one cares anymore.
Or that, yeah.
Right. That was seven years ago. Right.
Who gives a fuck?
That was 7 years ago. Things are legal in most states now.
Yeah.
They may not care about that. Do they even test for that anymore?
In the UFC? I don't think so. Because
violation Sean O'Malley
smokes all the time. Kevin Holland smokes all the time. Derek Lewis.
We know Kevin on. Yeah. We know Holland does. So.
Yeah. Like, so yeah. I don't think they do.
If anything, this might be one of those cases where you kind of have a argument to say, hey, like a Reggie Bush thing, maybe just give him that win back on the record books because no one cares about that anymore.
Yeah.
You know, just thought. But yeah. Maybe he doesn't care about that shit that much. We'll see.
We'll see.
But speaking of Kevin Holland, that's our next fucking fight we got to talk about because he's Bank Bros' favorite.
Yeah.
He's the Bank Bros' favorite. So Kevin Holland is back at it again because that man does not fucking sleep. He is a warrior. And in the middleweight division, he makes his return. Been a few years. He did really well at middleweight, but he had a couple of tough losses, you know, against Michael Venom Page, Jack Della Maddalena. So now he's back at middleweight, which he was kind of teasing after that last fight that he might go back anyway. And he's got an opponent, and I'm going to butcher this guy's name, but it's Mikael Oleksiyczuk. I had to look up the pronunciation of that one. Oleksiyczuk. Yes, that's crazy. Otherwise, it was Husar. He is 19-7, 14 knockouts, 11 in the first. But he's only won half of his like last six fights. So I'm not putting a lot of stock into this one. Holland, also, if we're looking at the stats, 3-inch height advantage, a ridiculous 7-inch reach advantage. And I think, again, going back to middleweight, off a couple losses, Holland's not the kind of guy to take that shit lying down. So I feel this is a good bounce-back fight for him. You know, Husar is going to give him some problems because he doesn't get knocked out. We know that about him. That's the only thing I know about him. He doesn't get knocked out. But he's also weak against the sub. He's weak against a choke. He gets choked out a lot. And a long-rangey fighter like Holland, who has ground game and submission skills to go with his striking, I think this is the get-right game. I think it's the big return to middleweight, and I think he uses this to propel himself to the ranking he should have. But I am going Holland by a submission. I'm going to say second-round submission.
Okay. I'm going to just ask the people, who y'all think I got?
I'm gonna go with Kevin Holland on this one.
I think you're right.
Okay.
As you know, as the people know, Kevin Holland is my favorite, and I mean favorite combat sports athlete in the world.
He's the fucking best, man.
Like, yes, like he's not the best fighter. I know that.
No, no, no.
But he can fight. He's fucking entertaining, and I
Yes.
fuck with him as a person.
Exactly. That's all I need.
And Kevin Holland's gonna win this fight by KO. Let me give you a
I
stat.
like it. I like it.
The last time Kevin Holland lost two fights in a row, he won two fights in a row.
Hey.
He just lost two fights in a row
Tough
to,
fights, too.
yeah, very tough fights to very good fighters, Jack
Yes.
Della Maddalena and also MVP Michael Venom Page. He ain't losing this fight. He's gonna come out and make a statement, get this win by KO. That long right hand is gonna connect probably in the first round and end Mr. Michal or whatever the fuck his name is.
You can try it. Mikhail Oleksiyjuk.
Oleksiyju.
That's good. That's really good. It took
Okay.
me a few
All right.
times.
All right. Well, yeah, Kevin Holland KO, round one.
Yeah,
You know
we
how
don't
I
need to
love.
remember his. We don't need to remember his name because he's gonna be knocked out pretty soon. Yeah, boy. All right. Next up, a very interesting fight. Still a little divisive, if you ask me. But at middleweight, it's not the Bang Bros' favorite, Sean Strickland and Paulo Costa, who we've talked about on the show a few fights now, and it's been interesting. Now, if you haven't been following along with our UFC stuff, that's fine. If you don't know anything about Sean Strickland, that's fine too. He's kind of been here, but he's also hasn't been on top of the UFC for a very long time at all. So it's, oh, I don't want to call him a flash in the pan, but he kind of came out of nowhere. He's shocked a ton of people when he beat Adesanya for the middleweight title. And then he lost the title to Dricus du Plessis on a split decision just a few months ago. So when he won the title by shock, I was calling him a paper champion. That was me. I'm standing by that. I said, I didn't, the win over Adesanya, I thought it was a fluke, especially seeing Adesanya's losses since then. I think it's a fluke. But the fact that he was champion, I was like, in that division, I didn't see enough to where I'm going. Strickland is like the guy. That division's fucking dangerous. And that's the kind of division anyone can get got. So, not taking away from Strickland, but I wasn't overly impressed when he was champion, which is fine. Costa, on the other hand, highly respected. But we've mentioned this. He's had a rough go of things ever since he unretired. He's crazy good, just destroying everybody. Went on like a 5-0 run, had a title shot, failed against title shot, and then he kind of fell apart a little bit. The whole retiring, unretiring thing, I think, kind of messed up a little bit, but he hasn't been bad coming back. He's just been not winning all the time. So it was a little rough seeing him. He just lost Robert Whittaker, so that was something interesting too. This fight is a must-win for both of these guys, in my opinion. Strickland trying to bounce back from a title loss and keep his name in the rankings is one thing, and then Costa trying to shake that cobweb and prove that he's not still rusty and maybe needs to stay retired or something. Costa's still young too, so both these guys desperately need this win, and it's gonna make for a very interesting fight. I think you might be in for a little bit of a chess match here. We'll see. It's a 5-round fight, so we'll see what kind of happens there. This fight, I believe, is gonna feel like a battle of spacing, because they're very different in their approach. Costa's kind of a bulldozer. He just controls the cage. He walks you down. He plows, does a lot of pressure on you. And Strickland is somebody who likes to kind of hang on the outside and catch you with his shots. That's just how he does it. That's how he's winning shows like a lot of times too. So this one's hard for me to pick. I don't know if this is the easy one for you. For me, this is actually the hardest one to pick. I like Costa as the better fighter overall, but he hasn't shown me the old Costa yet. And I can't believe I'm going to say this. I'm going Strickland here, and I'm going by decision. Fresher fighter, still kind of up there in the rankings. He's still the number one ranked person in the middleweight division. So I kind of feel like he doesn't take a step back, and Costa's going to give him a fight. Don't get me wrong. Costa's going to fucking take it to him. But I feel like if Strickland stays with his game, he runs out the clock, gets a decision, which, again, doesn't impress me at all, but I know how you feel about decision wins sometimes too. But with Strickland, I think he needs a very solid win just to get the rest of that shit off him. Just the last losses, the ugly loss to DDP. It wasn't ugly, but losing by a split decision for a title shot is just, it's ugly to me. It's ugly. So I'm going Strickland by decision, but I'm not confident. What do you think?
This is actually the hardest fight for me to pick too.
Hey, all right.
I'm torn because I think when it comes to skill and stylistically speaking, I think Costa has the upper hand.
Yeah, right? I feel like it.
I think he has the speed advantage. I think he also has the power advantage. But I think Strickland has the cardio advantage and also the reach advantage.
Yes. 4 inches.
And honestly, Strickland might have the technical advantage too, if we're being real. I think he's the better boxer.
Boxer, yes.
Yeah. So this fight, I'm torn. I
That's
think
tough.
what makes it hard for me is the fact that it's a 5-round fight.
Exactly.
That's what makes me favor Sean Strickland a little bit. But at the same time, I'm torn because I could see Paulo Costa coming out and finishing Strickland within
Just
3 rounds.
exactly. That's I know he's capable of that.
I honestly don't know who I'm going to pick right now. I didn't have a pick earlier. Since you
Oh, you
picked
got
Strickland, I'm going to be fun and pick Costa.
it. Yeah, let's go.
Costa by knockout. I'm calling it round
Woo!
three. Round three, Costa by knockout.
I like how neither one of us thinks Strickland could just finish this shit. That's interesting.
No,
But it says a lot
I
about
mean,
him, I think.
the only time I've seen Costa get finished was against Izzy.
Yeah, that's it.
And Izzy fucked him up. Like,
Yeah,
that
all
fight wasn't
world.
close.
No, that was a world beating.
That was the best Adesanya I've seen, in
Yes,
my honest opinion.
I agree with that.
Izzy fucked him up.
That fight stands out in my head all the time.
That's what it takes to finish Costa. So I don't see Costa getting finished.
No, not by Strickland, at least.
No.
No.
Whitaker couldn't even finish him. So,
No. So that to me, yeah. If Whitaker can't do it, yeah, I don't think Strickland has a chance at that, at knocking him out at least. But
yeah. One big weapon, though, for Costa to look out for, in my opinion, the kicks, specifically the body kick. Because Strickland, it's not that he doesn't care about getting kicked, but he doesn't pay attention to kicks the way he pays attention to punches.
I agree with
You can
that.
tell Strickland is strictly a boxer. He doesn't take anything to the ground, no submit, or he might have a submission win
He
or two, but
maybe.
he's not a BJJ type of guy.
No.
So look out for the body kicks from Costa, and I want to see how Sean Strickland responds to that. And on the flip side, I want to see how Costa plays with the distance and how Strickland manages the distance. Two things I want to look for in this fight.
Big time. I definitely agree with that. Again, I think stylistically, like you said, styles make fights, which is why I think this will be a good fight. Like,
Yeah.
not trying to like badmouth anybody on that one. I may not like Strickland personally, but like, I think these guys are not opposite, but they're very different. So
Oh no,
that's
they
why
are pretty much
they're
opposites.
pretty much opposite, right? Like, these are pretty different guys, and their
Yeah.
styles are very different. So like, I think it's gonna be fun to watch that kind of unfold. Just to see how they manage it and see how things break down. Because I agree, in a 5-round fight, it's a whole different approach.
It
You gotta think cardio. And
is. Which made,
yeah.
yeah, that fight again, it's 50-50 to me.
Right. So you're going Costa
I'm going
just
Costa
to
as the
be in. Yeah.
+200 underdog. I'm taking Costa.
I like it. I like it. Yeah, man. 4-inch reach advantage. 4 inches is that gets difference. That's between like a bad prom night and a really good one. So
Man,
just saying. 4 inches can make a big difference.
hey.
If you have a little bit of honey, that's an extra 3 inches. So, it came back around. But let's talk about the main event because this one will be fun. The lightweight title is on the line between just a monster in Islam Makhachev. Or is it Makhachev? I always get this wrong.
I don't
Makhachev.
know.
It's
Makhachev, Makhachev,
Makhachev.
I don't
It's
know.
Makhachev. Islam Makhachev against Dustin the Diamond Poirier. Banger alert, if you didn't know, people. My God. Makhachev has been pretty much unstoppable. He's 25-1, reigning lightweight champion. And now he's looking to tie the lightweight title defense record by his good friend, Khabib Nurmagomedov, who widely considered probably the best lightweight of all time by a lot of people. If you don't feel that way. But Khabib, we call him by his first name around here for fight fans. So he's made his mark. And if I'm not mistaken, I believe Khabib is accompanying him to this fight this time. So that's going to be very interesting. And I like, we talk about goat milk all the time and living that life and, just being out on your own at a farm and just training and fighting and doing nothing else but raising goats. So Yeah, Islam's that guy. He comes to work. He puts his boots on. He fucks people up for a living. That's him. However, we're big Poirier fans around here too. And if you look at like who he's fought, you know, Poirier is somebody who he goes out on his sword every fucking fight. Every fight he's in feels like a big deal because he's either going to get you or he's going to get got. Plain simple. Him and the Gaethje fight, we've seen the Gaethje series with Poirier and they're masterpieces. Those two try to end each other's lives. It's amazing to watch. And Gaethje definitely got the better of Poirier last time. That's fine. And then what happened? Poirier bounced right back. He fought Benoit Saint-Denis and blew everyone's minds with that win. Because that was a young and hungry fighter. And Poirier had no business fighting someone like that after the Gaethje loss. And he stuck it to him. And everyone in the world was like, damn, Poirier, holy shit. Now, I will put an asterisk on this fight before I get into the analysis. Most people agree this fight shouldn't be Poirier. It should be Max Holloway. But, as we all know, Holloway was just at UFC 300, shocking the world in probably the dopest knockout I've ever seen in fighting history, ever. So it's a quick turnaround. Holloway didn't want that 3 week before a title fight kind of camp. So this isn't Holloway. But Poirier, trust me, is a very deserving challenger. He's the guy. So then you kind of go, who's going to win this shit? We fucking know. To me, again, another tale of two stories here. Poirier is a better striker, in my opinion, than Islam. Islam's getting there. It's not a big gap, but Poirier's got heavy hands, and you know he can knock your fucking lights out with it. We've seen Islam do the same thing. I'm not saying Islam has bad hands. This is a close stat, but I think Poirier is a better striker. Also, there's a lot of power there, but if Islam gets Poirier in some kind of ground game, some kind of submission, gets him to the ground, I don't see Poirier getting out of it. I mean, I keep calling him Khabib. Islam is crazy good on the ground. That's what he does. He drags you to the deep water and he drowns you. That's his whole fucking thing. So this, I think it comes down to, like, if Poirier can keep this standing up, I think he's got a really good shot at that. And I'll bring up the stats for how they look here because I can't remember their reach. Yeah, Poirier's got like barely a 1.5 reach, 2 inch reach advantage. He's just an inch shorter. These guys are mostly even, but he's got just that little bit of a reach on him. That's about it. So if he can kind of, I know he won't because he's not the kind of just stand back and throw. He'll get in your face. But if he can keep it standing up, he's got something. He can cook with this. But if he falls into that trap and he plays into Islam's hands and he gets on the ground, I think it's lights out. Because of that, and I'm gonna be bold about this. I am going to say Poirier is going to win. Now, I understand what I'm saying, that he's going to take on the juggernaut and win. I am only giving him this win. I'm going to say a fourth round knockout. That's what I'm going to say. And it's just because, and Poirier has admitted this too, this might be his last shot. There's not a lot left in the tank here. There's not a lot on the clock. He knows if he doesn't get it done here, this is probably it for his title shots. That's why I'm giving him the win. I'm not even going to say he's going to be a champion for a long time. In fact, he might even retire as champion. But he might get a quick rematch and lose it right away. Poirier's not the kind of guy to go out like that. But this is something where I think he's going to have that little extra effort just to know this is it. If he puts it all on the line and he says this is my one shot, I think he is one of a few that can honorably take down Islam. But good God, is that going to be a war? And I don't think for a second that I'm even confident in that. I am just that much of a fan. I like Islam a lot too. And I can't figure out Islam. He just gets everyone cooked. Every Rubik's Cube, he solves it. I don't get it. But I said the same thing about McGregor once upon a time. And look where we are now. So if there's one thing the sport has taught me is that no one is unbeatable. Nobody. 25-1, somebody's the one. 25-2, Poirier could absolutely be two. So no one's perfect. It's hard. It's impossible to be perfect. It's damn near impossible. So I'm going to say Poirier's chosen one, but it's a close one. But what do you think?
In my opinion, this is the easiest fight to call on the whole entire
card. I knew this one. I knew it. Because Islam should just walk through him, right?
Actually, no.
I'm kidding.
Actually, no. I thought this was the easiest fight in the card because I think Dustin Poirier wipes the floor.
Hey, all right. right. I was thinking you were going to play the chalk here, but
No. Let me tell you why. Obviously, Islam, we know who he is. But
yeah.
A couple things come to mind when it comes to Islam. When has he defended his title against a true 155er?
Thank you.
He defended it twice against Volkanovski.
Yeah.
That's it.
No.
He rarely fights. Islam rarely fights.
He does. He really doesn't.
So he beat a 145er twice. Cool.
Cool.
Poirier has more career-defining bodies under his belt in the 155 division than Islam does.
Yes.
One thing that stands out to me, though, is that both of these fighters fight in the southpaw stance, meaning right hand first, left hand back. And that works right into Poirier's hands because Poirier, his best shot is a right hook.
Damn,
Poirier
that's
is actually
it.
Naturally right-handed. And the right hook is going to be the shot to knock out Islam. Why that's important is because if Islam fought in a orthodox stance, left hand first, right hand back, the right hook will be harder to set up because in an open stance fight, it's open so you can see the lead hand directly and it's easier to weave, to bob, to counter. But when it's same stance, closed stance fight, the lead hand is the one that's open. The backhand is the one that you have to set up.
Right.
So that's going to work right into Dustin Poirier's hands. I think Poirier gets him out of there early.
Oh, early?
I think.
How early?
I think he gets him out of there in round two.
Oh, shit. That'd be nuts.
Poirier is going to shock the world.
The amount of people who lost their shit when he beat BSD is like nothing. This is a huge step up. And I like BSD too, but Islam, like I said, has been untouchable. So if he can get him in the second, damn. Damn. Like,
I think
he's already on the way to Hall of Fame, but shit, that'll do it.
Yeah. No, I wholeheartedly believe Dustin Poirier is going to win this fight by knockout.
Okay.
And this was the easiest fight for me to call. Styles make fights.
Yes.
And I believe Dustin Poirier just has the power and the boxing ability and also the strength to fight off takedowns to get the job done.
I like it. That's what I'm hoping to see. Because again, the man deserves it. He has been a warrior for this company for so fucking long. And he's given us so many entertaining fights. I would love to see him not finish story like that, but at least let that be one of his last chapters, is being a champion. An undisputed champion, I'll put it that way. So,
yeah, because he's been
an interim champion.
Yeah, interim
yeah,
champion.
Yeah, which fucking hate the interim shit. Oh, my God. Yeah. But
it's crazy to think about because Poirier almost didn't even get this title shot.
That's right.
A lot of things had to go his way. Fucking Arman Tsarukyan turned down this title shot.
That's right.
Justin Gaethje got his ass knocked the fuck out by Max Holloway. Even if he didn't get knocked out, he would have needed some time off because Max Holloway gave him a beating.
Fucked him up.
I mean, you could have offered the fight to Max Holloway, but Max Holloway, he let it be known he has unfinished business at 145, and he wants Ilia Topuria. He wants that 45 title back.
Yeah.
And also, to go along with that, Dubronx just lost to Tsarukyan, so he lost his opportunity to get his other title shot. So all those things had to happen for Poirier to get this title shot, and I don't think he's going to let that slip.
Exactly. He knows the weight of this moment. He's been here. He's done that. He's experienced. He's war tested. Yeah. If anyone is equipped to take this fucking belt from Islam, it's Dustin Poirier. They call him the diamond for a reason. So we'll see.
Hey,
I'm very much looking forward to it.
If you're Dustin Poirier, what song are you walking out to?
Oh, shit. Oh, Not Like Us from Kendrick Lamar.
You know what song I'd walk out to?
What's that?
He could retire after this fight, win, lose, or draw.
Okay.
I think he should walk out to Diamonds from Sierra Leone.
Dude, that's one of my favorite Kanye songs.
Diamonds are
Hell
forever.
Yes.
Yeah.
Hell
yes. You know he's going to retire, so you know what I'm saying? Diamonds.
Oh, that'd be fucking dope.
Yeah.
That'd be
I think
so dope.
Out
oh, yeah. If he walks out to that.
Automatic win.
Put all your money on it. Hit the button. Hit the button. Put all the money on it. Go to Vegas right now. That's what I would do.
Mm-hmm.
Charter flight. Oh, that's gonna be dope. Those top three fights are gonna be amazing. I still think the two that we don't really give a shit about are still gonna be really good. And it looks like out of the five, we've got two different opinions on two fights. So that'll be good for the show. And we'll see how many shots we have to take. Hopefully you're feeling 100% by next week.
I mean,
you
shit.
have when
I
you
just
have took
drank
all
a
the shots.
cup of fucking Four Roses. So I think I'm good.
I'm thinking, all right, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Well, why don't you give your fans some last words for the evening? Not that one. Not that message.
No, not that one. But see, man, like got a question. Or not really a question, but yeah, it's a question. And
Okay.
the question is why? Like, why are people like this? Why do we have friends that are like this? What is like this, you may ask? Well, here's this story. This is not my story, by the way.
Okay.
Didn't happen to me. So there's a young male and a young female sitting in a car, smoking that ganja,
Yeah.
just having a good time. And the male's neighbor, who so happens to be a good buddy of his, sees him outside, calls him on his phone and says, "Hey, what are you doing?"
Oh, none of your business.
"I'm with my friend right now." He goes, "Okay," and hang up the phone. The neighbor proceeds to pull up in his car next to his car, next to the male's car, and goes, "Well, what y'all doing?
Oh,
Can't you
God.
see I'm a little busy here, like got something going on?" He
Right.
goes, "Oh." Neighbor goes, "Y'all trying to smoke? Y'all can smoke at my house." The lady friend taps the male on the shoulder and goes, "This dude's fucking weird."
Yeah, the
Kills the
fuck?
whole fucking vibe.
Right.
And my question is why? Why do y'all do this? If you see your man on a one man, let that man be LeBron James on the Cleveland Cavaliers in 2007. Let him
Right.
be great. All right. Leave that man alone. You are just a peasant at this moment to him. He doesn't give a fuck about you. Like, you his guy. He love you. Yeah, whatever. But come on, man. This guy's
Right.
trying to get his shit wet. You keep making his shit dry. So why? My
Oh,
question is, why are we like this, people? Why?
I have no idea. Do you want an actual
Neither
answer?
do
Because
I.
I couldn't tell you. I have plenty of friends. And I mean, I've even been, no, I shouldn't say I've been that guy either. But I have definitely known guys like that who are oblivious to their bros and the things their bros are trying to accomplish. So, like, if you're a bro, you gotta be a good bro. Like, that's just the how you do. Man, don't come and fuck up the vibe. Don't come cock block. Don't be a goalie. Like, if you see it, just ask about it later. Hit up with the homies.
Exactly.
Ask about it later. Don't pull up. Who does that? That's
Man.
so weird. I don't like it. I'm sorry for your
Man.
friend. That sounds like a horrible experience.
Just, yeah, it's just terrible. One of the worst things you can go through as a guy. Because it'd be the people you love the most.
Course. Of course it is. Never fails.
Never fails.
But speaking of people we love the most, that's you people. So make sure you come
Yay.
back and see your boys next week when we have another episode hot and fresh for you. In between time, you know where you should go. That's The Bank Bro Show on YouTube, Facebook, and at gmail.com. We are at Bank Bro Show on Instagram as well. So you know that's where the content is available for you to consume at your leisure. So make sure you do all that and then come back next week. Back to Spotify, back to YouTube, and see us again because we have plenty more for you. And you know what it is? Until then, Bank Bros are where? We're in your city. We're here for you, and you can bank on it. Peace.
1, 2, 3. Backwards. Lock.